Hi, you're listening to the Chasing Tone podcast with Travis and Max from Wampler Pedals. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
And we're sitting here with the man himself, CEO, President, Brian Wampler.
Is that a question?
Yes, it is.
Why are you talking like that?
No, but it's Brian, obviously, the man behind Wampler Pedals. But some things I want to talk about, I guess the main thing I want to talk about is the world of guitar amplifiers. And really, if we're going to keep this at a half hour, we're going to have to stay pretty general about it, because there's just all kinds of things you could go into.
Yep.
The main thing I want to get to, I guess, is you know, tube amps and the differences between the similarities. And some of that is going to be from a technical aspect, because you know more about it than I do. And quite frankly, I'm just curious about it.
Sure.
But another thing, I think probably all of us in this room started with a solid state amp.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, did you, Max?
Yeah, Crete 15-watt solid state amp.
Really? That's better than the one I had. Of course, you know, that was back in 1940.
Did they have amps?
They did. It had a crank on the side.
Had a big cone on the front of it, right?
Exactly.
Projects it out.
Yep. That's exactly what it was.
No, mine was a Gorilla. You know,
I had a Gorilla.
Really nice, yeah.
Yep.
It was really nice. got a Target. It was real
got,
nice.
Got me. Got a Target. It's real nice. But no, back in that day, I didn't even know anybody made new gear, because the only time I ever saw it was like one of my buddies was selling it. You know,
I remember I had like a little solid state amp made by Sears back when Sears had catalogs.
Yeah,
Max, you won't remember this. Sears used to have big, thick catalogs that everything in it.
It was like service merchandise.
So it's like,
yeah, like blankets to rings to clothing to music stuff.
It's like an analog website then, right?
It's an analog website.
It's
like the analog version of Amazon.
Was it still Sears and Roebuck then, or was it just Sears at that time?
I don't know. I don't remember. But anyways, I mean, I remember that, like, it was just like this little bitty amp, like, you know, 8-inch speaker, 6-inch speaker or something. It was terrible. I could yell louder than the amp was, you know? So, and that's kind of really what started me, because I was trying to get like the tones I heard on the radio through this little crappy amp and my little, you know, my little $10 distortion pedal that someone let me borrow. And I was like, why doesn't it sound like the Scorpions, which was a popular band back then.
Max. Oh. You want to hear, you want to know what my first distortion pedal was? I upgraded to this amp. It was a custom, you know, with a K.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it had an overdrive channel or a distortion channel on it. And it was like it was the smallest push, what do they call it, a push button, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a little, on those strats where, you know, those little bitty buttons.
Yeah.
So I would lay on my bed, put the amp down by my feet, and I'd play some Green Day tunes or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I wanted that distortion, I just used my fat toe.
That was your stomp box.
That was my stomp box. And I'd miss it every time. And that's when I realized that I have a little bit of OCD, because instead of reaching down, I would start all over. You know? So if I was playing, like, you know, back in the day, like, you remember Bush, the band Bush?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Seemed like every one of their songs started cleanish guitar, and then the band came in and it was distorted. That was like how you wrote a grunge song or whatever.
Right.
And I would sit there and I would try to time it just perfect. And I didn't even know pedals existed then. I lived in Odin, Indiana. You ever heard of it?
Yeah. I think there's a stoplight there, right?
Mm,
or is it a stop sign?
It's a stop sign, but it's got a light that flashes. What's that? Does that count?
High tech.
Yeah.
You're half looting around
I honestly think the Amish population is greater than the English population.
Right.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But
a great place to grow up playing electric guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Amish community.
Yeah. There was literally one person in town that played electric guitar other than me. One.
But I bet like some of the Amish guys were like, with acoustics, probably could shred circles around you.
You're right. Oh man, I'm gonna go down south for this after it's all said and done. But there was this kid, and he was an awesome guitar player. He played bluegrass, but he was used to mandolin, but made the jump over to acoustic guitar. And I befriended him, and I introduced him to the electric guitar.
Oh, so you're the devil.
I am the devil.
Oh,
He was fantastic. He taught me. Back then, I was really into Grateful Dead music, and, you know, I just learned how to play. So he would sit there and
teach you,
and teach me all this Grateful Dead music. But But anyways, amplifiers.
And that's so relevant to tube amps because I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Okay, so.
Oh my God, he's pointing at me. For those who can't see, why is he pointing at me? Say something. Amplifiers are nice.
Okay, so I guess the thing, like.
What, let me ask you, mm-hmm. What made you decide that you need a tube amp?
I really had no idea. I moved to, when I was like, because I started playing guitar when I was like 18. So I went to college right afterwards or whatever. And I'd been playing on this solid state amp. And this guy, I'd started playing gigs when I was around 20. And I was playing this Randall half stack because I had mm-hmm. this amp and it started smoking one night. And this mm-hmm. guy was so cool. He was just like, man, I got an amp at home. I'll go get it. So he went and got it, and it was like this Randall half stack, and it was solid state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, it was bigger, it was louder, so it was better.
Right.
It looked cooler. Mm-hmm. And then, so I did gigs with that, and then this one guy came up to me, and the older guy, and, you know, I think every young guitar player hates this guy until they get older, and then they realize that the guy made sense. But he came mm-hmm. up to me, and, you know, he was like, yeah, man. You're pretty good, but your tone needs so much work. And tone never even, like, at that point, never even occurred to me. My thing was just learn the licks, you know? And then, of course, he told me that I needed to go through a divorce and have kids and all this stuff before I really understood blues music. And I remember telling him, I was like, just because you're miserable doesn't mean you're a better guitar player than me. But it did get me thinking, you know, and then I went to this music store that I used to teach at, and I started playing, and I plugged into this big amp, mm-hmm. and it was heavy, and I moved out, started playing it, and instantly, like, the way it felt mm-hmm. is what grabbed me, and then I noticed, like, I just would get my finger underneath the E string and pluck it as hard as I could. And, mm-hmm. and that sound for me just sounded so much better. And I would just sit there and hit an E string.
Where the note would just distort just a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and of course I was really into Stevie Ray Vaughan at the time and it mm-hmm. just sounded like that tone automatically. And I didn't have to do anything. And to this day, I wish I wouldn't have sold that amp. I wish I still had it, but it was a PV Blues Classic. Mm-hmm. Which I think is basically like a Classic 50 with a 15-inch speaker.
I think so, yeah.
But
wait, the Delta Blues, you mean?
No, it was before that. It's called a Blues Classic.
Was it in the Tweed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about, the Delta Blues.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever played the Blues Classic.
It looked exactly like a Bassman.
Really?
Yeah, because I took the PV logo off the front of it, and everybody just assumed it was a Bassman. But no, that was my first thing, and it wasn't so... You know, as soon as I played it, it was one of those things. It was like... I have to have this amp. And then I moved and I forgot that I didn't pay it off. And then I started getting mail at this bar I play at all the time. I actually got mail there and it was a bill from a music store. So sorry, Brett. Sorry, Dave. I got it paid off. I didn't do it on purpose. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to the people at the Slippery Noodle Inn for having to get mail there.
Billing me out of jail.
Yeah, making me look even worse than I am. Yes, I've received mail at a bar. Does that make me an alcoholic?
I think drinking too much makes a person alcoholic. Probably not a...
Yeah, I don't know if we can tell that story,
can't tell that over the air. But
can we... No, people will hate me. We can't
say
that.
We're going to say it and then we can cut it out. That's a double entendre. Only people in this room know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Anyway.
Remind me to tell you that story later, Brian.
All right, you'll have to tell me later.
That was one of my favorite, that was my experience with mm-hmm. why I wanted a tube amp.
What was your favorite, your transition from a solid state, Max, to a tube amp?
Honestly, I'm just a geek. It was Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was ahead in that crate, and I couldn't get the sounds I wanted, so I just started reading everything I possibly could about Stevie Ray Vaughan and the gear he had and super reverbs. And then, like, the one common factor on everything was just our intern almost literally busted his melon all over the place. So, you guys can't see him, but Nevin, take a bow. That was awesome. That was way better than my story. You just saved me there. Like, chubby kid's talking about Stevie Vaughan again. No, but Stevie Vaughan, I started reading everything I could about him. Mm-hmm. And the one common denominator was tube amps. Mm-hmm. And I found out that tubes get really hot at an early age. And that you shouldn't touch them. I still got the scar. So when you talk about feel of a tube amp, I know exactly what it feels like. Painful.
It feels like burning.
It feels like burning. But yeah, that was my big transition.
I don't remember my first. I'm trying to remember my first tube amp. It might have been like a Classic 50 or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I know like I always had like crate stuff just because I was brokering a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And even in my 20s.
That being said, though, well, go ahead. I'll come
even
back
in my 20s, I had like I got a bigger crate amp because
yeah.
bigger is better.
Exactly.
And you've been using the crate, so why not use
it's
a
worked,
bigger crate?
It's yeah. worked so far, yeah.
So and but I mean, keep in mind, I'm old. So that was like in the 80s.
Not much older than I am.
But in the 80s, though, it was pretty acceptable to use a solid state amp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's something we've talked about before, too, is like there's a 4-year difference between us, mm-hmm. but where that 4 years...
It's dramatic, yeah.
It's dramatic because I don't know that I've ever learned an 80s song on purpose.
Right.
You know?
And I grew up... I grew up listening to my brothers play music.
Exactly.
On record players.
Yeah.
Mind you.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like Van Halen and stuff like that. So, you know, my brothers are 6 and 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
Break out the turntable, play the records.
Oh, man. I remember as a little kid, I'd be like, voot, voot, like, voot, voot.
Oh, I got...
Don't do that to my Van Halen album! Oh,
dude, I still...
I was like... But I can scratch like a rap guy, Jimmy.
You know what? This actually may be worth some money. I have a first printing from 1978, I think, of the Star Wars soundtrack on vinyl. That's probably worth something.
If I could borrow that, I could sell on eBay and find out for you.
I can borrow that. Can we ever get it back or the money from selling it, but I can find out for you. That's a good boss.
We'll
right
find
there.
Out real quick.
but no, going. You're right. I mean, because some of the older cats I used to play with, they had solid state stuff, and it mm-hmm. sounded fine. And mm-hmm. a lot of the digital floor processors too. Mm-hmm. And that's just the sound you were used to hearing.
Right.
But what you said about crate, there used to be. Remember that? I think they were called the Club Series or something like that.
Yeah.
So
they had several amps actually. That ended up being pretty decent amps.
Yeah.
Like Vintage Clubs, I think, was
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because it was like a V15.
Billy Gibbons went on tour with them.
Did he?
Yeah, one whole tour, yeah.
They had
Billy Gibbons can make anything sound good.
They had one of the earliest ones was called a V-Series was the amp.
I had the V15.
And I had a V15 once, and then I also had, before they came out with that, I had a V50.
Okay.
Which is like 212.
Okay.
That was an amazing amp. I mean, it's a great sounding amp for the money.
Yeah.
And then I bought one later and they had changed the circuit and didn't sound anything like it.
See,
this was the early, early one. And it was actually, it sounded great. Even great clean tone, great distorted tone. Terrible cabinet because I think it's made out of like cardboard or something.
MDF.
But I mean, you connect it to like a good Marshall cab or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. Same thing with the V15 in the same way.
Yeah,
connected to a great cabinet.
If I tell
you,
and that's how you monopolize a conversation.
He never did ask me what my first amp was.
I used to have one of those Crate 15s. I swapped the speaker and it was awesome. Okay, go ahead. I had to get that out there.
It's over now.
I had to get it out there.
Nope.
Fine, Max. What was your first amp?
Nope, doesn't matter. Nobody loves me.
Okay, he's going to sit here. What was your first amp?
No, I can't tell you that. No, it's Fender DeVille 212. I'm glad you asked. I love that amp. It was great. Christmas Eve, I had to spend like all summer bailing hay to get this. I wrote a great blog. Check it out. Wampler blog site. So I'm glad they asked me finally. Jerks.
So you bailed hay for your first guitar amp.
I did. You can tell where from.
That's a country song, man.
No.
That is a country song.
No. Unless it involves like Dip or On Out stuff. It's not a country song.
Okay. So here's kind of like... It's total tech stuff, and I'll try. Hopefully, you can make it entertaining because I don't.
Right,
it's all on you here. But
I'll try not to talk about like cathode biased versus whatever.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, and I may be completely off, but tubes only work a certain way, right? And what I mean by this is like, could you look at them as like a building block, and it's just a series of building blocks?
It is. I mean, you can like take tubes and do different things. Like, for example, you could make it a gain stage. You can make it a phase inverter stage.
Right, but
you
there's know, so, only but so many things
you're not going
to
like
do.
Make it, echo. You're not going to make it
right.
into a delay.
Right.
Anything like that.
And the thing is like, I guess my question is we all know different power tubes, affect your tone. And and different preamp tubes do the same. And when I'm not saying brands, you know, or ratings or anything. I'm just saying, you know, 6L6s, 6V6, so on and so forth.
Right.
But this may be a ridiculous question because there are a lot of variables. But do you think, where do you think, other than speaker, I'm talking the actual amp, other than speaker, where do you think the biggest variance in tone comes from component-wise from amp to amp?
Component-wise?
No.
Because the next thing
component.
I would say would be cabinet.
Okay, not component. Let me, I guess, for instance, do you think it's the, how big a role do you think the EQ section of an amp plays?
Oh, huge. Okay, if we're just, like, for example, if we're playing through the same, we're going out to the same cabinet, we're going with the same speaker, and we're just going, using you know, output section from different amps, just using different, you know, just using it as an amplifier, right? The magic is always in the details. So it's how much gain does each stage have?
Right.
How is it EQ'd between stages? How much resistance is, you know,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and then it's, well, what kind of phase inverter is it? How much signal is that phase inverter getting?
And where is it at?
Yeah. I mean, how many stages before it gets to the,
right,
you know, so it's basically kind of just the details of what you do. You know, you're going to have, you know, amps work a couple different ways, right, but I mean, generally there's the preamp section, which then can get phase inverted and split two, then sum back together and then spit out.
Right.
But, or it can just be like just boosted and then spit out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I know there's all kinds of things that go into it. I mean, we're not even probably going to talk, you know, about, you know, solid state rectifier, tube rectifier. But I guess where I'm getting at with all this is I understand there's, you know, tons of things that you can do different, but the thing that drives me nuts is people always want to say that, oh, it's more of a Marshall sound because of the EQ, it's more of a Black Bass sound because of the EQ, but those amps are completely different other than the EQ. I mean, the tube complements are completely different, so it's like a complete apples to oranges thing. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think people tend to try to relate to things in ways they understand, so
yeah,
you know,
I guess.
So I mean, sometimes someone might say, well, that amp sounds more like a bassman, and it could, like, circuit-wise, could be totally different than a bassman. But
yeah,
it still might have that sort of characteristic to it. I mean, it's possible,
right,
it's possible to achieve that same thing with a different circuit.
See, I guess one of my frustrations is you know, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, well, this amp has, like, a Fender channel and a Marshall channel. I've never played one that does it, that doesn't share that shares transformers and power tubes.
Right. Because you get the characteristics of,
yeah,
of that stuff. Yeah,
exactly. And it drives me nuts. And I think I may be way off on this, but did Dan at 65 amps, did he start making a dual amp with complete separate transformers or something at one time?
I don't know.
I can be completely
wrong. And I think Third Power,
that.
Jamie from Third Power does.
Maybe that's what it is. I know somebody's doing it, and I'd love to try that because to me, that's the only way it can be done.
And his Third Power amps are actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. I know a buddy that works with them every now and again. He swears up and down by their stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to try it. But
yeah.
But yeah, that just always drove me nuts how, you know, unless you're doing that, I honestly think two amps is the way to go. But that's where, you know, good dirt pedal can come in, I guess, too.
Good. But it also comes down to, do you really want to drag two totally different heavy amps to your gig for an hour?
Depends on the gig.
Yeah. And depends on if you got to set it up and tear it down.
Exactly. That's what I mean. like for instance, it's festival season, man. They got stage hands.
Right. But when I go play at the VFW this weekend, I'm not dragging a twin and a 50 watt Marshall with me. So.
Yeah.
And a Mesa Boogie.
Yeah.
And a Vox. Because we got 40 different songs, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Just play blues. It's one song, three tempos.
Yeah. Play country. It's kind of this. It's blues with some chaw in your mouth. Blues with a pickup
That's
track.
The same thing as dip.
Yeah. Chewing tobacco.
Dip.
No.
No.
No to everything that just got said the last minute.
The thing is you'd get behind dip if there was like different ways you could make it. And it would be like, only you would only get behind if it was craft dip.
I can't get behind it. There's no way I'll ever get behind dip.
You don't understand. This is craft dip. Okay. There's pieces of fiberglass stuck in it so it gets into your lip faster.
What's funny is they always give me crap about drinking craft beer, right? Oh, craft beer, Bud Light forever. Now these guys are drinking craft beer, and they're like, oh, this is pretty good.
No, I only drink one.
I tried to tell you this like 2 years ago.
I only drink one.
And then Brian asked me on vacation, how come you didn't tell me about this sooner? I'm like, I did, and you guys call me a hipster.
Yeah. I was like, Yingling. It's like the best beer ever. By the way, if you work for Yingling, we would gladly like a case sent to the office, please. And... Great.
And then,
what does beer have to do with 2 p.m.?
You're talking about craft dip.
I want to bust your stones on something here. So this is the guy that I brought over Leinenkugel Summer Shandy one time,
which
right?
is yeah. practically a lemonade for girls.
Which is it's a lemon wine cooler.
But but it was summer, right? It's excusable. But anyway, so I brought one over, and he was like, "It's not Bud Light, dude." Like, everything was Bud Light, everything Bud Light. Remember this?
I was the, you know how a beginning guitar player plays a lot of Boss pedals or maybe some Dell Electro or stuff?
You were in your Boss stage.
Not to put those companies down, so don't take me wrong. I'm just saying that a lot of times, like, our customers start with brands that are more common.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then they kind of see, well, what else is out there?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I approach it. Like,
and I don't think it's a cheap thing. I think it's an accessibility thing.
I'm like, why are you bringing this? This does not say Budweiser. Yeah. I thought there was only like 3 beer companies.
There's Budweiser, Bud Light, the Margarita Bud, whatever that's called. I can't remember. I've seen the commercial for it, though.
But so then I post on the Insta pages a picture of this tenderloin, and there was a beer in the background. What, you laughing because I said Insta pages? It's the same thing. It's
face pages. And
there's no difference.
Yeah,
but
my Insta.
But okay, so I posted that, and then through the company page, you said something like, "Well, why didn't you have a beer with it? Because there's a Bud Light." I assume it was you because it had to be you because instead of saying you should have had a beer with it, it said you should have had a beer with it. So I knew it was you, but
no, because I say shoulda. I shorthand everything to shoulda.
Like you want to laugh, but you don't. But anyway, somebody did, and I was like, "Did Brian do that?" Because if he's slamming me for drinking Bud Light. It's like, hello, pot. I'm kettle. You know?
I don't recall doing that.
Man. Okay, maybe it wasn't you. Do you have... Who has the Instagram?
I always make fun of you, but it wasn't me through Instagram.
Okay.
Who
all has the login for Insta pages?
Rather than saying should have, I always say shoulda, which is, you know, but it might have auto-corrected to should of.
Oh, okay.
That well, could be.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah. You're right. I have seen the ways. I like me some Sun King. So okay. So 2 Bamps.
let's recap. Tubes are hot.
I'm
tubes
sorry. Hop.
Nobody cares what Max's first amp was. Beer. Yeah, this is awesome.
That's fantastic.
And Yingling.
That's not even a real thing. Actually, really the good guy's an Earthquaker. Gave us some Yingling beer once because we drank it and we gave you one and you hated it.
And actually, Travis, made
I should have tried
name.
It first. I judged the book by its cover. I'm like, that's an ugly.
Do you remember?
I do. I drank them all. You had half one. You're like, hipster beer. And then and you made fun of the name, and Brian's like, it's not Bud Light. So I ended up drinking like out of the 6 they gave us, I probably drank 5 of them.
Then my favorite part is that was like kind of your, would you say, internship? My,
Yeah, the whole weekend.
Yeah, he didn't even have the gig yet, but he came down and worked and got the gig, you know, because of it. But, dude, I just remember how much you drank that weekend. Like, as soon as Brian was like, I'm going to have a beer, you're like, Can I have one? You weren't asking for one of his beers. You're asking for permission to drink, but it just cracked me up.
But
I remember the time that you, went into our room next door and clogged up my toilet. That was...
That's actually a great story.
Without telling me, and then called the maintenance man to bail you out of a situation because you knew that I'd be really mad if I knew that your butt was on top of my toilet.
So here's the story, all right, before I even get the job, since I brought it up.
Can I interject real quick? Sure. Keep this in mind. Brian is the type of person, when you go to a Mexican restaurant, he has to get his own chips and his own salsa. If there's communal anything, if there's bread, he has to pick out of it first. Or if it's communal, he just won't have any of it.
It might be able to be said I'm a bit of a germaphobe.
Yes. Yeah. He carries multiple bottles of hand sanitizer. He has one in each door of his truck. Okay, so
one in each office?
One in, yeah, one he makes
for
sure,
him. Yeah, not for us.
Exactly. He puts one in each of our office, and it's not for us. It's so after he leaves our office, he can squirt. True story. I can't make this up. Okay, that being said, all
right.
Proceed.
So there I was, right? So first, Travis invites me down and says, hey, I need some help with Nashville Amp Expo last year.
Yeah.
So I come down and help out. I know, and I've researched all the pedals and know kind of what I'm talking about halfway. And so I'm so nervous the whole time, you know, bubbly guts the whole time. I'm like, oh, man, I hope I get this job, blah, 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 blah. So I get bubbly guts, and there, we had two hotel rooms side by side, and the boss and the boss lady are in one hotel, and Travis and I are in the other hotel room, and that's also our demo room.
Yeah, right.
And there's a door connecting the two.
And there's a door interconnecting. Yeah. So instead of using the demo room, our room's bathroom, like
because customers were going
to
be coming.
Yeah, you don't want customers, you know, to walk past that nastiness. Right. So I decided, I'm like, I'm going to scoot over to the boss's bathroom while the boss and boss lady are walking around. I'm in and out, ninja. Nobody will know, right? So. Either it was, I was just really nervous or the plumbing was really bad. But either way, safe to say, I had to call a maintenance guy. And so I'm on my boss's phone.
I'll never forget the sheer look of panic.
Oh, it was terror. I'm like, I'm going to lose this job because I got bubbly guts. Right? So I call the maintenance guy. I'm like, dude, you need to get up to whatever room, like 333 right now. And if you do, there's an extra 20 spot in it for you. But you need to get here now. So he comes running down the hallway with the plunger, fixes the bathroom. I slipped him a 20. Nobody knows until like the last 2 hours of this show. Travis goes, hey, Max, remember that time you clogged up Brian's toilet? It's like, dude, I got away with it the whole time. And then you have to go bring this up. But then I got hired, so evidently bubbly guts wasn't that big of an issue. Oh,
dude, if you got past the Paducah trip and that whole experience, then you knew you were okay. That's
I think how we coined the phrase "who farted." But that's a story for another time.
My favorite. It's when we were coming back. I remember we drove by that landfill. And you said,
Max.
You said, oh, Max. He goes, that wasn't me this time.
It was a landfill.
There was no difference in the stench, though. It smelled the exact same.
Seriously, it really did. Landfill, public bathroom, it smelled just like that. It was disgusting. Yeah, again, I was nervous.
And there was like no courtesy flush or anything. It's just Travis sitting back, or not Travis, but Max sitting in the back. And I'm like, what is that smell?
I thought.
What happened?
I just let out just a tiny little poop. And I figured like, all right, nobody's going to smell it if I just sit really still. See, it wasn't the case.
And the funny thing is like Max and I have been friends for, I mean.
Ever.
Yeah,
7 years.
Yeah, 7 years, like inseparable friends. And I actually got to the point to where as soon as I smelled it, I was like, that's Max.
that's a buddy. It's like, that smells my friend.
And I could have rolled the window down to save you, but I didn't.
I was in the van in the back, so I couldn't roll down. There was no rolling window.
That's right.
It's just a little latch. Yeah. And it looked too conspicuous. So I was like, hey, man, how do you unlatch this window?
Hey, can you hit the hatch real quick?
I know I just met you a couple of hours ago, but I ruined the back seat of your van.
Say, can we stop and get some McDonald's, something to mask this smell?
But two man fires.
So, yeah. So, clipping two amps.
I never ask about you asking me about my first amp ever again, though.
Hey, we've all been there.
I've been this embarrassed since they asked me to do the monkey bars in grade school. It's like, I can't do it. I'm chubby. I don't get how to swing. I was just like, I'm just going to run through these monkey bars. Screw it. I can't monkey bar. Just as an adult, I'm like, if I have kids, I'm not going to make a monkey bar. It's stupid. Well, you'll have to bleep that part out.
Did you just cut?
Yeah. I did. I dropped the F-bomb. We'll have to just put a big sensor over that.
Okay, one. Yeah. We'll put a beep on it or something.
That's how passionate I get about monkey bars here. The arch enemy of Pudgy Kids Everywhere.
And you know what? I think we're going to have to pretty much just end on that note today because I'll be honest, I can't save this. And I think it's beyond beyond repair at this point.
Part two.
Well, it may not have been informative, but at least it was slightly entertaining.
Yeah, to me anyway. But so, you know, if you guys have any questions or actually – let's face it, if you ask a question, we'll try to get to it, but we'll probably get sidetracked. But we still would love to get to your question, maybe at a different show. But no, seriously, if you guys have any questions, email us at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And go ahead.
Or they can even just post it on the business page.
Oh, yeah, on the Facebook page, yeah, right?
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, or anything. You know, feel free to engage on any of our social media and, you know, just say, hey, you know, let us know if you like the podcast. We appreciate the feedback, especially if it's good feedback. But or send us an email at podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and we'll try to get to those questions and comments and everything. So for Brian and Max, this is Travis.
I'm Max.
And I'm Brian?
Yeah,
Brian? I'm Brian.
From Wampler Pedals?
Wampler Pedals? But, all right. Thank you guys for listening to Chasing Tone.